Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms the podcast. Heather here along with Brittany.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, this week we've kind of been working through some stuff at home here in our marriage. This year has been a lot of together time, and you know, we're all learning something new about our spouses, and
even after all these years,
or maybe it's not something new, maybe it's just like those traits that you try to ignore are just being amplified right now. So Isla's been talking about wanting a pet fish for a while, and so with her birthday a couple weeks ago, I told my mom to get her a goldfish because I knew that my mom would buy the cheapest, most simplest goldfish setup, which is all she cared about. And that's really all I was willing to invest. And because I know, so AJ has this tendency where like, he can't just have like the basic model of something. It has to be like the holy shit package, no matter what. It can't be like a 10, it has to be like a 15. And so I purposefully did not put him in charge of the fish tank because I knew he would come home with like exotic sea life, like illegal saltwater creatures, like the whole nine yards. And I didn't want a giant ugly fish tank. So my mom got out of the fishbowl and it was fine. And then apparently fishbowls get murky and you have to clean them often, which is annoying, but whatever. So AJ kept saying, I'm going to buy a fish tank. And I said, no, you're not. Just, it's fine. Everything is fine. Isla's happy. That's all that matters. So a couple of days go by and I think like, okay, he's finally dropped this. And I mean, you know where this story is going. He comes home with a giant fish tank. And I guess I can't be mad because somebody he works with had it and wasn't using it. So he got it for free. But it's just so ugly, but it brings everybody else in my family so much joy. So I'm really just trying to like roll with it, but it's really annoying. And I've like a week has gone by and I've been so annoyed. I haven't even been able to talk about it.
I'm glad you're in a better place with it now. And then my husband's over here egging him on. He needs to get a turtle. Oh, and
literally everybody we know is egging him on. I'll have to show it on Instagram stories because I'm finally in a place where like I could talk about this without just like having steam come out of my ears.
Is this so you like it?
No, let's be clear. No, I do not like it. I am choosing to not fight this battle because everybody in my house loves it, but it is an enormous tank for two freaking goldfish. So then of course his answer is then we need more fish.
Right.
So
they're living like kings in that big tank.
But you know what? I'm just gonna count my blessings because he's also been talking about coming home with like a bearded dragon or a snake or a chameleon is his latest.
He still might.
Well, you know what? It's gonna look really nice in his apartment because I'm not living with a reptile or amphibian or anything. Arachnid, nothing of those.
Oh god, no. So fun.
So you know, we're all choosing our battles right now, right?
Totally. Yes, 100%. So today how do I want to say this? Heather and I, if you follow us on Instagram, we obviously are very politically minded people. We care very much about what's going on in the world. So we decided that every episode from now until the election, and I mean, that's the plan right now until the election, at the end of it, we're going to do like a little political segment.
Well, I think let's put like some not boundaries, but like some guidelines to this, I guess. Mm-hmm. So our intent is not to like shame anybody into paying attention or make you feel bad that you haven't been paying attention, because I think it's, there's so much going on. And if you choose to dip in and out of the news cycle for a day or two, you can miss a ton. And I certainly try my best to dip in and out. And you know what? Sometimes you got to. I personally can't avert my eyes. So.
Right. Yes. We want you to take care of your mental health. Number one.
Right. But the other thing I want to kind of warn people about, because I don't want it to scare them away, is that both of us can get very passionate when we're talking about this. And I think sometimes that skews my message. And so don't be turned off by my high blood pressure.
Well, I think what we're going to try to do is stick to the facts. Not necessarily, we're not journalists or any, like, we're not going to deliver the news to you, but just talk about it in a way that we need to hear. We as suburban moms, and hopefully you can relate to some of it. Hopefully you learned something. And honestly, if you want to talk about anything that we say, whether you agree or disagree, please email us. We want to open that conversation because we think that's really important.
Right. And I think our overall goal is to make this a really accessible conversation. We're not going to try and, I mean, we're certainly not lawyers. We're not political pundits. We are two suburban moms who stay up to date on events. So we don't have any brilliant insights. We're just kind of talking about things and sharing our perspectives, and that's really kind of it. So
yeah. So at the end of the show, and we will be putting, hopefully I don't forget this, we'll be putting timestamps in the show notes so you know exactly where that starts. But first today,
start with the joy.
Right. This is how we steward our mental health. And we'll talk about housewives right after this quick break. This episode is sponsored by Regency Centers.
I don't know about you, Brittany, but shopping right now in person can sometimes feel a little bit stressful. So I think that if you are going to go in person, I think the experience needs to be extra enjoyable. Regency Centers owns and operates retail properties nationwide, including two Northern California locations, Prairie City Crossing in Folsom and Persimmon Place in Dublin.
Persimmon Place features retailers such as Whole Foods, Sur La Table, Ethan Allen, and Nordstrom Rack. We love that they've considered sustainability as a part of their model, including solar panels and windmills to help reduce the center's overall energy consumption.
You can enter the Tailgate Takeout Giveaway now through October 16th for a chance to win a $500 gift card, either to Whole Foods at Persimmon Place or at a grocery store at any local area Regency Center property. Find the link to enter in our show notes at okayusmoms.com.
And welcome back. Let's see. Where should we start?
Oh my God. It's been such a long time since we've done a Bravo episode. I feel like so much is happening with our friends.
I know. And actually, this, like, in real time, there's only one franchise on now.
I know. Well, you know what? It's really the best one. Let's start with Potomac, because okay. I love every second of it. I have found myself on my phone, distracted, doing something else, watching Beverly Hills and even a lot of New York this season, but Potomac, I am just, my eyes are glued to the screen and I can't stop watching. They're so funny and they don't even try. And there's multiple storylines, which I know is just like groundbreaking for Beverly Hills. And I just love them.
I love it too. And there's that thing that they do really, really well. And Atlanta does it really well too. Actually, Danny Pellegrino brought this to my attention, where there's all these crossover storylines and it's not just like one group against another group. They have a relationship with every woman, and it's not like in Beverly Hills, it feels very like teamed up, you know. Okay. There's not any crossover.
Yeah. And even when they are fighting or on rocky terms, they will still film together. Like when they were at Monique's lake house, was it lake or a river? I don't
They do things really weird on the East Coast.
I know. I mean, I hope they at least know there are different bodies of water on the East Coast. But Monique and Candace, who have kind of had a little thing going. I mean, they were even downstairs taking shots as the Grand Dame slurred her way through that. So, you know, like even then, like they said, like, we're no, let's just keep it light and have fun. So I appreciate their willingness to do that.
Totally, totally. Should we start at the lake house? What happened before?
Yeah, that's all that is in my memory.
Yeah, same.
So we have the tension just like building. Were you going to say something? Did I interrupt you?
No. I'm just laughing at the whole trip.
So the tension is building with Monique and Candace, which it seems like such a nothing fight, but I get the feeling that they're fighting about something off camera.
See, isn't it about Candace spreading the rumor that Monique was hooking up with her trainer?
Right. Candace brought, what is her name? With the champagne room.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I can remember her alter ego, Shasha.
I forgot about that.
Oh my gosh, what's her name?
I don't know. It's Shasha. So that was shady as hell, for sure. But it's the way, do you remember when they left that dinner where Ashley talked about her butthole? There was some,
how could I forget?
After they left the restaurant, there was some like their mics were still on, but the cameras weren't rolling. And Candace said something about like, that's not what you promised, or like, I don't know, something like that, that made me think that they had some kind of an alliance going into the season, and that Monique basically like sold her up a river.
Oh, I forgot about that. I can't remember what was said, because it didn't seem like it fit in with anything during that episode, but that makes
right sense. Which that's what made me think, because I was like, this is so out of left field. Why are you like, so Monique totally sold her out and
okay, so that's why it's building.
Yeah, but whatever is happening with Monique and Big Boy, as Giselle called him,
I just love it.
It's something dark is happening. No. There.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Why would the first thing that pops into your head when you are told to impersonate your wife, the first thing that you think of is her giving you head? Like, to compliment yourself on your big dick? Like, that's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Oh, yeah. That was strange. A strange choice, especially knowing you're being filmed.
Right? I don't know, but the way she keeps talking makes me think that I think the rumors are true. I mean, she doesn't really have anything to say about Chris. Like, she keeps saying like, oh, I'm putting everything in a little box and one of these boxes is going to fall. And
what is that thing that Andy, maybe it wasn't Andy, like the lily pad where women go on the show to make a name for themselves and then divorce their husbands the next season?
Yeah. Yeah, so they use the show as their lily pad, their launching pad.
Yeah. But this is her, third season?
Yeah. No, I don't know. No, I don't get that impression from her. From Ashley, no, I do. But no, I don't know. I think she's just, I don't know. See, this is where sometimes I don't love her, because I don't want to watch my own life on these shows. And I think that's so relatable to me, is that, you know, you have all these kids and you're trying to run a business, which her business is
$200,000, you know, for overhead for a podcast.
She's doing something wrong. So I mean,
it works.
There's that, but like, I can so relate to this, like, you feel like your husband's not as supportive as you want him to be, and like, you have all these, and you're being pulled in all these directions, and like, I don't want to watch that. I'm living that. I don't need that. So, I don't know. It feels too real, I think.
Well, I want to keep her on my TV screen just to keep.
Oh, no. I always want a housewife who's willing to throw hands. Keep them around.
Well, and who has a bird named T'Challa. Oh, that's the star of the show. They're captioning T'Challa's words. You trick.
If I don't have a spot on the reunion couch, I want a refund.
Have you seen his Instagram?
No.
Really, actually kind of nerdy because she like talks for him.
Oh, Monique does it?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested.
No.
I find this bird thing to be very, this is part of her darkness. It's very strange.
I actually agree that bird people are very dark.
Oh, yeah. No, a bird person is a specific kind of person, much like a horse person or a cat person or no, like you're laughing because you know what I'm saying. They have a very
100%
personality.
Yep.
But a bird, I don't know, something about her walking around with that bird on her shoulder. It's just like very Maleficent-y.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's, or maybe like Jafar and yeah, he looks like Jafar with the Iago on her shoulder. It's just very strange. And she's potty training everything she can get her hands on.
It sounds terrible.
I think she's like, that's how she's finding her control. Cause everything else is,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, if how you're controlling a potty trainer, I don't, I'm sorry. Who has time to potty train an infant? That's too much.
Who's going to tell her it's not going to fucking work?
Well, it worked with her other two kids. Apparently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's like the beauty of an infant is that you don't have to take them to the bathroom.
You just lay there.
I don't know.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about Ashley.
Oh my God. Where?
Another dark character.
Okay. Do you buy this threesome storyline?
I think. No, I don't think they're being 100% honest. I think they wanted to. They crafted this story, but I do think they have an arrangement.
Yes, I think that this threesome story is truth adjacent.
Yes, exactly. And fine, like they don't want to go into their private sex life, but now that this is a part of the show,
messy. Yeah,
can't be on the show anymore.
Yeah, do yeah, totally do whatever you want to do. Like obviously they're happy because she's pregnant again,
right?
So I mean, live your life, but either don't be messy or be honest or get off the show.
Yeah, totally. What is she seeing, that golem looking character?
Dollar signs.
Yeah.
And an endless supply of Corona.
They are really into Corona.
Although at the restaurant, she ordered a Pacifico and I was,
oh, she was
very confused. I know. I was like, ooh, this is like.
That's the worst thing she ever did to him. Oh man. I mean, Albert, I like Ashley and I want her. She could do so much better. It's
that baby is so cute.
It's shockingly cute.
But he also looks exactly like Michael. So I'm feeling really conflicted about all of that. Because how can this baby be so cute but also look exactly like Michael?
Well, I tend to think like babies that look like old men are really, really cute.
Ooh, that's true. Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Like, I remember Nolan kind of looked like an old man.
Oh, he was, yes. He looked like Uncle Fester for a long time. Okay, so then they're at the winery. And,
oh my gosh.
I love Giselle. I love her. She, even her terrible choices in home decor and fashion, just, they endear me to her even more.
I agree. She's a gem. And she, I mean, she is throwing a lot of shade though. I mean,
but that's why I love her. Right. That's her job.
It keeps it going for sure.
Yes. She's the Greek chorus in that show.
What do you think of her winning these awards about, or these awards for her book about her husband cheating on her that she's now back in a relationship with?
What do I think of the awards or of her coming full circle?
all of it.
So I think that you can find an award for anything. So, I mean, it's like a perfect attendance award, right? Like if you just like, if you're just there, you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like necessarily a literary accolade to be celebrated, but I mean like, hey, trip to New York, do it. And I don't know how I feel about her back with this husband. A couple episodes in, she made it clear, like, look, this is what we want to do, and I'm going into it both eyes open, and like, screw all you guys. And I, you know what, That's fine. It is kind of a red flag to me that her kids aren't into it, because I feel like that would be every kid's of divorce's dream to have your parents get back together. But I also think that they were really young when it happened, and they probably only heard, I'm sure they heard, they've heard stuff that like their dad's a dirtbag or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I really like him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen, I mean, not that he's in it a bunch, but.
But also he lives in Atlanta. So like.
Right. So what are you doing?
Where is this going?
Well, who knows?
TBD.
Yeah. Also, I had to laugh when she was at that furniture store with Robin, and she was describing her style as like clean and simple and modern with a little bit of bling. And I was like, do you need your eyes checked?
Oh, it's so hard to look outside yourself on your decisions. Like, she needs to hire an interior designer.
Oh, God, please. Someone in the Potomac area, if you are watching, please go knock on Giselle's door.
Do it for free, though, because she's got a $900,000 teardown.
A $900,000 cabin. Oh. Okay, what about, so anyways, we were back at the barn. We got sidetracked with Giselle.
The barn, yeah.
So, but I feel like before we get to the fight heard around the world, we need to talk about Wendy, the new.
Oh, new, I freaking love her.
I love her too. Her husband is so hot.
Yeah, yeah, he is. More of them, please.
I love her too. What did you think about her whole hissy fit when she saw Ashley brought the baby?
I mean, I get it. That would be super annoying. And I didn't like their answer that, well, it's your third kid. Like, but it's still a baby. Like, you're still, the breastfeeding thing is the most annoying thing to pump and get ready for a trip. And if she had the option and wanted to do that, wanted to bring her, then they should have given her that option too. Me personally, I would probably not want to bring the baby at that point, but if she did.
Yeah, I think it was just like a crossed wires kind of thing. Like, I think she didn't know that she could ask that, and Monique didn't really offer either. And so I don't think there's any ill intention to it. I think she just.
Yeah.
But hey, I love a new housewife coming out swinging.
I do too. Usually you have to wait for the second season for that.
Yeah, no.
If you're Teddy Mellencamp, never.
Ugh. You know who's also like going full Dorit, where like I really couldn't stand her, but now I really love her, is La Dame, the Grand Dame.
Oh, I love her.
Erin Huger. Just, what did she say? Oh.
So funny.
Oh, God in heaven or something. She just keeps saying this one phrase over and over, and it's just, it's perfect.
Her slurring her words was the final straw in my full cup of love for her.
How about her saying that she had to go shower because her coochie stunk and Ray was oh, so good. I think last season she was like super guarded, which made her really boring. And this season she seems like an open book, probably far too open. But I do like how she's being honest with her marriage with Ray, that, you know, that they're in a rocky patch because he just wants to go to Florida and live his life. And she's coming into her own now and with the show. I mean, I feel like what they're not saying is that she wants to stay on the show, and that's why she can't move to Florida.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So back to the barn. So I was dying the whole time when Monique was waving that net, or no, Candace was waving that knife around in Wendy's face as she's like dodging it.
Candace and a knife.
God, get the cutlery away from that woman.
She's not allowed to touch them anymore. I put my foot down.
You must eat with your fingers from now on.
Wendy's face was priceless. She wasn't even at that whole dinner last year, and she knew.
Right? I feel like Monique is just projecting everything. I think for once, Candace isn't being a little bitch about things, and which is like so... My brain can't comprehend saying that because she's always wrong. But Monique, I think Monique is just projecting. I think she's got a lot going on at home and she's very unhappy. And here's like somebody that she thought was on her side who's now turned on her. And so she's an easy target.
Totally.
I am excited for Robin and Juan to get married again, though.
I know. I forgot about Robin.
I also love Robin. That scene
where love her, but I mean,
well, because there's so many good people on Potomac that it's hard to remember them all. When Robin was sitting on the couch talking to her parents, she is gorgeous. She's so beautiful.
Yeah. Juan's pretty hot too. This might have the best looking house husbands.
I think they might. Right. Any other thoughts on Potomac? I can't wait to see this fight because all we saw was them just flinging each other's hair, tossing it, teasing it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love this.
I want to see this whole fight. If they don't have this whole thing on camera, you got nothing. You know Monique was charged with assault.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, charged or?
Charges were filed. Listen, I don't really know how all that works, but I don't know if they were dropped, if Candace dropped them or whatever, but charges were filed.
Well, excuse me while I Google this.
Yeah, no, because I think how it works is, like, you can file charges, but then the person who, like, the victim can choose whether or not to pursue it. I don't know. I don't know what the real words are.
Interesting. Yeah, we better see it. God.
I mean, you have a camera right there. But you know what? I don't have much hope, though, because they also didn't show us Nene assaulting the cameraman in her closet either.
I know, but there wasn't a camera in there.
No, he was the cameraman that she hit.
Oh. Well, he probably dropped the camera to defend himself.
From Nene.
Well,
I defend myself from Nene too.
I would just start crying.
She would make you cry. All right. Anything else for Potomac?
Nope.
All right. Let's go to the other coast. Let's go to Beverly Hills.
Do we have to?
I mean, it's going to be quick.
Okay.
I watched the behind the scenes, you know, at the end of every season, like after the last reunion, they do a scenes you never saw kind of episode. There was one of Sutton's birthday and I watched it out of pure boredom because like I had nothing else to watch and I just needed to shut my brain off. And because I don't typically watch those. There's a clip section of Sutton's birthday party. I need everybody to know that Sutton is only 48. Yeah.
I refuse that information. Seriously?
She was celebrating her 48th birthday.
Well, she lied, right? That's what you do in Beverly Hills, right?
Well, why would you lie and say 48?
Interesting. Okay. Does all the like her extraness just make her seem older? Like her haircut, the bangs? What is it?
No, to me, that's what makes her seem older because...
Yeah, that's what I mean. It makes her seem older.
Oh. But you have to watch this because she is acting... She got so drunk and she thought she was being so fun, but she was just being weird.
Oh, I like that though because that's kind of how I am.
No, it wasn't like a fun weird though. Like she was just like... touching Dorit's hair and it was weird.
She grew on me. I think she would make a good housewife. She's just weird enough and like off a little, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. I want to see more. And I've heard that the whole reason she wasn't a full-blown housewife is because her ex wouldn't let the kids be shown. But I mean, like look at Leah in New York. How many times do we see her daughter? Like a handful. Like I think you can still...
Yeah.
Like they can be around without being like on the show. I don't know.
I never saw Sonia's daughter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's another one.
I mean, I think she could hold her own. We don't need to see her kids.
Right. And honestly, like stop showing me your kids. I don't care.
Right. I do like how,
I don't need to see another snooty Beverly Hills model child with a $5,000.
Oh, God.
Like short-term hotel rental. I don't need that. I have that with Tinsley. I'm good. I don't know. This season, I don't care. That's the thing, is like with this whole like Denise Brandy thing, I guess. Like, I don't care. You're all wrong. I don't care. Why are we still talking about this? Give me something more.
I was trying to think back. When was the last time on Beverly Hills that we didn't have like a one storyline season? Because we had Lucy Apple Juicy last season. And then before that, I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, like, it predates Dory for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it's her.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm so over it.
Well, Teddy's gone. Thank God.
God.
Oh, God. She's just.
By the way, we put a poll up in our stories saying Teddy's gone. The choices were good riddance or I'll miss her. And there were some of you who said I'll miss her. Listen, and we definitely judged.
If you said that, I need a 5-page single-spaced essay telling me what you love about her, because
it couldn't be that long, Heather. I will take 3 sentences.
I will take 1 thought. She's the worst. I go eat your 1600 calories. No, she doesn't even eat that much.
Oh, like 600 probably.
She's just terrible.
Good riddance. That's all I want to talk about with her.
I don't know. I'm getting tired of Kyle. And
my God, Hella hath frozen over.
I know. I don't. Okay, here's how you save Beverly Hills. You get Kathy Hilton on. You bring Kim back. I need all those sisters, and I need all their shit out there.
Yep.
And with some Paris sprinkled in there. I want some of Paris making lasagna in there.
Hell yeah.
And I want Kris Jenner.
Oh, I want Kris
Jenner. I don't want the whole Kardashian-Jenner clan to come along. I just want Kris.
Same.
And then I want the morally corrupt Faye Resnick to make a ton of appearances.
Yeah.
And then I want them to bring back, who was that housewife? A couple seasons back. I want to say Margaret, but that's not it. She was one season. She was blonde.
Oh.
Catherine.
Yes.
Because she was friends with Nicole Brown Simpson. And they all ran in that same circle. And I want some of that.
That's what we need. Real friends.
Yes. We need like the history. That's why New York is so good. That's why Potomac is good. It's because they have a history. We need like the history. We need the layers. We don't just need like.
Some of the best seasons of that show are when Kim and Kyle were on it together.
Yes. Bring Kim back.
Honestly, replace Kyle with Kim.
Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, I will take Kathy for Kim.
Yeah.
Or Kyle.
Kathy for Kyle, yeah.
Yeah.
And they won't do that, but.
I want Richard's sister drama, and I want to rehash the summer of 1993.
Oh, gosh.
That's what I want.
It could get dark. That's what it needs.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to, like, go into the nitty-gritty of the case, but like they were all friends for a lot of years. Kris Jenner was friends with Nicole Brown Simpson, so was Catherine. Faye Resnick, who ended up selling her out, and yeah, like let's bring them back together.
Oof, let's send
them to Rome.
That's probably exactly why they won't go.
I know, god damn it.
Okay, Rinna. Thoughts?
She's too produced. It was fun in the beginning, and now she's done.
She'll never leave.
Okay, well, that's not how this works. So.
No, I feel the same way. I just don't know why she went so far off the deep. Well, and actually, she's done this before. I don't know why I'm surprised.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the only conclusion I can come up with, is that she's self-producing. Because what is her motive for this?
Yeah. I mean, she wants the show to be better, but it's like, we just have a bunch of.
Well, don't stab your friend. Yeah. Don't stab your friend of 30 years in the back to get it. Fuck.
I know. They're seriously acting their way through this show.
Well, and yeah, I have no time for that.
I'm bored.
The problem is Rinna was better about hiding it, I feel like, in the beginning, and now it's just so obvious.
Yeah.
Also, I need Erica to put up or shut up.
We've said that so many seasons in a row. She's done for me, too.
I still love her, though.
Did just honestly cancel Beverly Hills. Give us a Chicago or New Orleans. Give us somewhere else.
Please follow Tinsley to Chicago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I think, but in that same vein, quick detour, we need to shut down Orange County. Yeah. I don't know if I can watch it this season.
We should do Real Housewives of Sunset, like LA.
Yeah.
Like a spinoff from Selling Sunset, kind of.
Yes. With Christine. Yes.
Yeah.
Or just take Christine and put her on Beverly Hills. Oh, she would eat them alive. Oh, she's too young.
Yeah, I think so too. It would have to definitely be like a whole new. Why doesn't Andy should get our opinion?
God, Andy, listen up. I don't know. I just like, we lived quarantine. We're still living COVID. I don't want to watch these idiots live it.
I am interested to see it.
I mean, obviously I'm going to watch.
Well, I'm interested to see. I mean, I know that they were legit idiots within quarantine and COVID, but I'm interested in the way the TV show had to shift and like how, you know, like yeah. how they're going to, I don't know. It's kind of like,
I just
agree, you know?
Yeah, I know. Kelly Dodd is just going to.
Oh, I can't.
Anger me.
Yeah. I mean, she angers me every day.
She's a mess. Okay. New York. Dorinda is gone. She got the boot.
I am sad, but I think it was time. She needs to take care of herself.
Well, and she even said herself that she should have taken the season off, which, who knows, maybe she did decide that on her own. After seeing that last episode, I thought I would have said, oh no, she was fired for sure. But then after watching the third episode of the reunion and her saying that she should have taken the time off, I thought, well, maybe she did decide herself. I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be sad if she decided to come back in after a few seasons.
Yes. Yes. Like, or maybe just like even demote her to a friend of like they did for Lou. That's.
Oh yeah.
Cause like keep her around, keep her in the fold because she's known everybody for years and that's what makes a good cast. But, you know, give her that space to get her mind right.
Totally.
Luann just coming out smelling like a rose this season.
It's so shocking.
What is happening in this world?
She is like a phoenix from the ashes. She surprises me every season.
And just like so level-headed. And like when she was talking about volunteering at that one organization that helps the women who have just been released from incarceration. And Andy gave her a really tough question, like, stop saying you were incarcerated or because you were not. And I loved her answer. She's like, this is all new to me. I'm still trying to figure it out. And I loved everything she had to say, which was so uncountess of her. So.
Right. Yeah, she's definitely grown. Now if we could just get rid of the fucking cabaret shows.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe that is a blessing of COVID, is that they will be gone. Maybe she will be gone to something else.
Cabaret's not even a thing.
And pick Sonia, goddammit.
I know. Sonia.
Sonia-rita.
I just love her. Yeah. Why?
Because when she was saying how, like, Ramona called her fat.
Oh.
And, like, she was saying how, like, I was going through my own stuff this season, but all I wanted to do was just listen to you guys and, like, take that on. Nobody even asked about me. And I don't know. We don't deserve her. She's too good.
I know. I love her.
Ramona is a monster. And I know we say it every week.
I feel like a broken record, but she is literally the worst.
But why can't we cancel her? What is it about her?
I mean, I don't know. The question for the ages.
I do think deep down there is a good person in there somewhere. I think she just had a really rough childhood. I mean, she's said that her father was abusive, and I think that she's just conflicted. Like she knows she has a good head on her shoulders, and she knows what the right thing is to do, but she sees like something shiny and gets distracted and just like forgets everybody else and just does her.
I know. Yeah.
Ugh. I don't know. Leah was fantastic though.
Oh, I love her.
And she's coming back for another season.
Back.
And I saw a rumor that she's trying to get Kelly Catrone from The Hills on the show.
That would be incredible.
Oh my God. That is what I need.
Okay. Okay. To take Tinsley's spot.
Yes. Oh, speaking of reality housewives crossovers, have you heard the Snooki rumors?
Yes. I would die. I would die.
Cast of New Jersey.
Could you imagine her going toe-to-toe with Teresa?
Oh my, I want it. I want it so bad. I want that more than I want Kathy Hilton.
Yes, I would. That would revive New Jersey for me.
That is what it needs. I want the meatball to be reignited.
Oh, I love her.
That'd be incredible.
Yes, that is what we need.
I need to put that out into the universe.
Okay, real quick. What are your thoughts on Salt Lake City?
I have not watched the trailer.
What?
I haven't.
Get your mind right. What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm very worried it's going to be very religion based. And then when I read that thing about the woman who married her grandfather, basically her grandfather, right?
Yeah, it was her grandmother's second husband, but yes.
Grandfather. And that really weirds me out.
And they have a kid together.
Okay, no. I mean, that's, I don't know. I don't, I'll watch it. I'll report back later. What did you think of it?
I think there's something there. I am always intrigued by Mormonism. So anything with that in it, I will always consume. But there seems to be a lot more there. I think it's a lot more diverse than we have seen, both in like people and viewpoints. So I think that is good. It's not exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Okay. So,
I mean, I basically expected like sister wives meets.
Right. It's not that? Okay.
No.
I'll watch it.
Also, this seems to be, how do I say this? The most body positive cast. It's not the Beverly Hills plastics. So there's that.
I like that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot there. I would rank Salt Lake City above Orange County right now.
The trailers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just like my excitement level is higher for Salt Lake than Orange County.
Totally. You have a lot of baggage with the OC. So.
I know. I can't quit them. That was my gateway drug, you know? I can't just turn my back on it.
I know. Ugh, we should though.
These are tough times. We gotta watch this smut.
It really is like such a nice thing to sit down to at the end of a long day.
It just like rings my brain out.
Yeah, I love that.
All right. Well, anything? Any other Bravo thoughts?
I think that's all I got. Okay, should we dive into this politics segment? Right? Segment?
This is a sharp turn.
I'll do like a little do 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 do.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone music.
Yeah.
God, that's all I keep coming back to is like, if the events that have happened of 2020 were like a really shitty novel or like a really bad drama on TV, like nobody would watch it because everybody would be like, that would never happen. That's stupid. That's so far-fetched.
And like it would Lost is what you're
yeah.
saying.
I never watched it, so I don't know.
But neither did I.
It would be like the most, it would get like terrible reviews. So everybody would be like, no, it's not worth your time. But yet here we are.
0 out of 5 stars, do not recommend.
I truly understand the phrase stranger than fiction. Okay, so do we want to go through just like a quick rundown of the most current events, which of course are changing minute by minute?
Yeah.
Just the highlights in case you're not caught up. So about a week ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a Supreme Court justice, passed away from pancreatic cancer, correct? She was 87. If you don't know much about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I can't recommend enough. There's a documentary called RBG on Hulu that kind of walks through her life. She was not the first woman on the Supreme Court, but she basically, any right that you have today as a woman in this country is probably due to her. She was such an incredible woman, and it is a true tragic loss for our country. I mean, even like politics aside, she did so much to further human rights, women's rights, and we are all in a bad place without her.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I love in that documentary how they highlighted how she became kind of like a culture icon for young people.
Yeah.
But the notorious RBG and how she embraced that and just to work so hard as a woman and shatter those glass ceilings that so many were held down by in the past. She was a force, even in a frail 87-year-old body. Like she was a badass. And I was like very down after we heard that news.
Oh, I cried.
So much. It's
So in case you don't know, Supreme Court justices are lifetime appointments. So now that there is an open seat, Trump has determined that he will, come hell or high water, he will do what he can to get another appointment, which would skew the court to a conservative leaning court. And because they are lifetime appointments, he actually just named his nomination, which will now go through Senate hearings. I cannot remember the woman's name because I refuse to commit it to memory. She's in her late 40s. So we're looking at least a generation's worth of
Amy Coney Barrett.
Thank you. We're looking at least a generation of her deciding legal cases for our whole country. So also, President Trump's racist rhetoric is really ramping up. He was at a campaign rally this past week, insinuating that Representative Ilhan Omar is an American. He said, quote, "She's telling us how to run our country. How did you do where you came from? How is your country doing?" And in case you don't know, which I didn't, because after I heard that, I had to go look it up. Representative Omar fled from war-torn Somalia when she was 8. So she's been here a while. She is a citizen. It is her country. And she's telling us how to run our country because she is a citizen of our country.
And an elected official. This is just a flashback to the whole birther movement. I say movement in quotes that he tried to wage against President Obama. And it's just not true. And it's, these words are then reposted and headlines and articles, and
it just becomes a giant game of telephone from that point.
Totally. And it's just not true.
Well, and just this constant undermining of any person of color in any position of power, just to that's always his go-to move, is to undercut their characters, their citizenship, their
trying to bolster himself and
yes,
make everybody else less than. And I mean, that's, it's like you said, it's racist rhetoric, and we have to call it what it is.
And possibly the scariest one for me this week was how he has refused again. He's said this multiple times. He said this back in 2016, that he will not commit to a peaceful transfer of power, which just means that come January, when it's inauguration time, he leaves. Or, you know, a peaceful transfer of power just means that the president who did not win leaves quietly, and the president who did win comes in and takes over. And we take that for granted in our country, that that happens peacefully, because in so many countries, democracies are hard fought. They're often preceded by civil wars. This happens so peacefully, and it has happened for, God, what, almost 250 years without fail in our country, is something that we need to hold on to. And that's how it goes. You don't just get to change the rules and take your ball and go home. That it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and I thought it was really telling that even Republicans such as Mitch McConnell, now I'm blanking on the other names I had, but
Lindsey Graham
came out with statements saying that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January.
But you know what? It was a resolution. It's not a law on the books. And honestly, any Republican senator's word doesn't mean jack shit to me.
Yeah.
Because you may have seen going around, there's famous quotes of Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator, saying, use my words against me. Because back in 2016, when, was it Justice Scalia? I could be wrong. There was an open vacancy on the Supreme Court, and Obama, with a year to go to the election, wanted to fill the seat. But the Senate was controlled by Republicans, who refused to push the nomination through, saying that because it was an election year, it should be decided by the new incoming president, whoever that may be. And of course, that was Trump, and he got to appoint his new nominee. So basically, and now that there's a nomination open with weeks to go before the election, not an entire calendar year, they're all going against their word. So I don't trust what they say. That's great. You can sit there and say, yeah, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power, but make a law, put it on the books. Then I'll believe it.
No, I get that. I do think it is at least a little bit more telling, because that they don't usually ever come out against anything Trump says, especially those two.
But that's what makes it even more untrustworthy to me, is that it feels orchestrated and part of the dance.
Could be. I'm trying to hold out hope here. Could you stop it?
Okay. All right. That's new territory for me. So
I know.
Okay. So that's, now that you're kind of like up to speed, those are the highlights of
the week,
the hour, the day. So the day, as of the day this podcast is released, we are 35 days out from the election, and all of Trump's shenanigans aside, this is what's of the utmost importance, is getting out and voting, making sure you're registering, triple checking that it's at the right address. If you've moved, I know depending on what state you're in, things can be different. In California, the deadline to register is October 19th online. If you are going to register by mail, which I would strongly, strongly encourage you to go online and do it, but check with maybe your grandparents if they need to change their registration and are trying to do it by mail. It has to be postmarked by the 19th. So if you are able to not rely on the U.S. postal system, they've said many times they think it's going to be reliable and they have no reason to think otherwise. I just think if you can get it to your election office, just do that, or do it online. check with. So once you've got yourself squared away, check your spouse, check your neighbor, check with them, your close family, your parents, your grandparents, anybody. I mean, regardless of what side you think they're on, who they're planning to vote for, just they need to be registered, because if you're not registered, you can't vote. All this is for nothing.
Make sure you actually vote.
I mean, if you're going to go through all the pain of registering, make sure you actually go and do it. And because if there's one thing you take away from this today, is that there is a point to voting. We have to, regardless of what comes out of Trump's mouth or what you think, your opinion matters. I mean, the amount of people who didn't vote in the 2016 election just because they didn't like any of their choices or whatever their reason was. I mean, that's why your voice matters. And I know sometimes in California, especially, we tend to think that it doesn't, because we think it's going to go blue either way, but who knows?
So don't expect a clear decision on election night. I think if there's anything Trump has trained us to do, it's that he will fight tooth and nail if it's something he doesn't like. So it will be held up in courts. It will be recounted, which is kind of upsetting, because it was clear on election night in 2016 that I was depressed AF after.
Well, especially, I think it's going to take extra long this year because of the amount of mail-in voting that's going on. And those aren't calculated instantly. So if you can get it in as quickly as you can, if you are voting by mail, because then your local election office can get it counted and verified and all of that. Quick story. My signature has gotten very lazy over the years, and I just do like some loops and that's it. In the primary back in March, is that when it was? It feels like a million years
ago. Long ago.
I am a permanent vote by mail voter. I've just always done vote by mail. And so I signed my ballot and I threw it in the mailbox and didn't think anything of it. And then about a week later, I got a call from our county election officials, and they said that I needed to verify my signature because they didn't think it was me. And I was like, what? Oh, somebody actually looks at that? Because, you know, this was back before we even were talking about election security and things like that. So in California, I don't know if this is the case in other places, but the signature on your license is the signature that they compare it to. So if you're not sure what that looks like, go pull out your license and try and replicate that the best you can. Obviously, like, don't like stress over it and make it, you know, like so that it looks forged or something like that. But that's what they're looking for. There is an actual human that's comparing them and validating your ballot. So this is just not the year to make election officials work harder and guess and have to track you down. Just do everything they say.
Fast.
So yeah, just we're in it, guys. We know that there's so much going on and everybody's being pulled in a million different directions, but this is important. If we want to see the change in our communities, I mean, like, sometimes it's hard, especially in a presidential election, it's hard to see how it affects you. I feel like this year it's so easy to see how, I mean, our kids are at home, or maybe if they're not fully at home, they're only going to school part-time, or I don't know. Like, I feel like so many things have happened this year that there must be some way that you're feeling this, and start having these conversations with friends and family. And even if that's not something that you typically do, maybe you're somebody who keeps the peace and you don't want to ruffle feathers, so you don't have these conversations. I'm not saying go get in a knockdown, drag-out fight, but, you know, start exploring these topics and seeing what people think. And, you know,
yeah, that's definitely something I've had to work on, because truth be told, I've been in some knockdown drag out fights with family. But if you stick to the facts, I mean, they're all right here in front of us. Try to keep emotions out of it, which for me is really, really hard.
Impossible.
My whole therapy session the other day was about world events and how, and I was crying the whole time. And I'm like, it takes practice, but they're important. And I don't think we can say that enough.
Well, and if you're not, I know there's a lot of talk right now around the media, and that's a conservative news outlet. That's a liberal news outlet. The media twists everything. The best thing I can say, if you're not practiced about knowing where your information is coming from, go to a primary source. Go watch President Trump speak and listen to what he has to say. Go do your research. I mean, go to his website. Listen to Joe Biden speak. Listen to Kamala Harris speak. I mean, I'd say listen to Mike Pence speak, but I don't think you could find much. So, I mean, truly, like, we... It reminds me of like going back to writing a college paper and you have a primary source. I mean, if listen to what they're saying and make your own opinion. If you don't want to listen to all these different media outlets, whatever, great. Go listen to these two men talk and let that guide you.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so let's give a few resources of either pieces we've found helpful or places we go for our information. What do you like?
I am a big podcast listener. So there are three that I love. The Daily does really great, succinct wrap-ups about certain things that are happening in the news. And they've been really great lately. Pod Save America. It's a longer version of current events.
Forever talking me off the ledge.
They are, it's a really good, well done show. And recently I just started listening to Pantsuit Politics, which has been really like a breath of fresh air. It's two moms who are former, I don't know if they're practicing lawyers.
I know for sure one of them is practicing or is like current. I can't say for sure.
But they're brilliant, and their conversation, their catchphrase is a podcast talking about grace-filled politics. So they don't agree on a lot of things, and they're two friends who are talking about politics in like a really great down-to-earth way.
Well, and I feel like it's important to note too that when they started, one was a liberal and one was a conservative. And now both of them are voting for Joe Biden. I don't know that the conservative host still identifies that way. I don't know. I don't know. But I know for now she openly talks about how she is opposed to Trump and voting for Biden. So, and I think that's another important thing to note. One source I've really loved and found really informative is the Lincoln Project. So what that is a group of conservative Republican lawmakers, former lawmakers, just pundits, the whole thing, who have come together in support of Joe Biden. So there's a lot of talk about staying loyal to party. And here are a group of Republicans who are actively campaigning against Donald Trump because they feel like he is not... They need a loyalty to country over party. And I think that's kind of what we all need to be thinking about right now. And I honestly love that viewpoint so much that that's actually been my approach to politics forever. I'm actually registered as an independent because I didn't want to be stuck with one side. So I think it is important to know that if you are a Republican and you're grappling with like, oh, I'm a Republican, I can't vote for Joe Biden, you are not alone. There are so many people out there right now who are also Republicans who are voting Democratic this year because they are keeping their allegiance to the country instead of the party. And I think that can't be said enough. It's okay. It is okay. And another, I will linked this post, but Dan Rather had a really good Facebook post. He's often got some really good ones and he always has a really clear, level-headed message. And he talks about how he's lived through so many different events and how this one feels just so much different because through all of those different events, he's never worried about the president and what they would do to the country. They never, that Dan Rather never questioned their allegiance to our democracy. And I thought it was really interesting because shortly after reading that, like the next day, I called my grandma, who's in her late 80s, and she said the same thing. Now, my grandma does not have Facebook. There is no way she read Dan Rather's Facebook post. So to hear that echoed again by someone who, I don't know how old Dan Rather is, but he, you know, to listen to two people who've lived through so much, to hear them say the same exact thing, it hit home that this is, if this feels weird and unknown, it's because it is. And I don't know. I think it's time. It's a gut check time.
I can't wait to live in precedented times again.
Right. That's going to be Times Person of the Year, the word unprecedented.
Oh, and then this Atlantic article.
God. So this one is, we'll link to it in the show notes. It's titled, What If Trump Refuses to Concede? And it's very long. And it's very technical reading. It's not a light, breezy one by any means. But it walks you through like how the peaceful transfer of power came to be and how that became a United States tradition. And there's a couple times where it almost wasn't and how that became so. And it also talks about certain things that Trump and Trump's campaign advisors have admitted. Well, no, they've not admitted them because they don't admit things. They have been recorded and caught saying that there are things they are doing to try and assure themselves a victory. It will scare you, but I am of the mind that you need to know the things you need to be afraid of. So.
Yeah, it's a little rough, but it's interesting. And like these things are really happening. And I think that's part of the reason we wanted to have this segment at the end, just because I know how easy it is to dig your head in the sand and then come up for air. Like, what happened? I've done it. And
oh, for sure.
This is important.
I think to a pretty large extent, I did that in 2016. I had a new baby. I had, my life was just complete chaos. And I did. I mean, I felt very passionately about Hillary winning and I despised Trump. And, but I didn't have the energy to take it on. And I kick myself for that because not that obviously one person could have changed anything, but I know we are all running on empty and we've all reached our surge capacity and 2020 and all those things we're all about to get a really good civics lesson. we're going to learn things about election law we didn't even know. And this is good. This is good to know and to learn and to grow and to take this on. We all need to be present for this.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Stop what you're doing right now. Go double check that you are registered to vote.
Do it. We'll wait. No, just kidding.
Don't be afraid, guys. We can do this.
We got this.
Do this.
If there's anything I've learned after becoming a mom, it's that moms can do freaking anything. We got this.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.